Thank you for that lovely addition, the reminder of the holy city, the New Jerusalem. And I'm sure that that song encourages us as we think about leaving from this earth into a city where Jesus himself will be the light. Are we looking forward to being there? You know, while we're looking forward to being there, we have to also remember that we need to take someone along with us. Encourage those who are along the way that might need a little bit of nudging so that we all can make it into the kingdom of God. You know, I remember the first time I went on a trip to Blue Mountain Peak in Jamaica. That's one of the highest peaks in the island, and the island of Jamaica. You know, we reach a point where, well, at a starting point, those who were leading the trip sat us down and they kind of gave us an idea of what the journey is going to be like. They told us that the higher we get, it's going to be difficult for ears. And they also, it's something very important, they peered us up. They said, this is your body. And you are not going to reach peak or the mountain leaving this individual. You must be there together. This is your responsibility, and this is your responsibility. He belonged to you on the journey, and you belong to him on the journey. Therefore, on our way there, if we are resting, we both rest together. If we're walking, we both walk together. If you're eating, we both eat together. That person was my responsibility, and that ensured that no one was left behind. You know, and that's my topic for today. No one left behind. You know, are there any military personnel in here? Anyone who was in the army? I know Brother Eugene was, he left. But recently I happened to talk to someone who served in the Marine Corps. And I can ask the person, what drives you? What, tell me something about the Marine Corps. And he said that our motto is Semper Fidelis, or Fidelis. And that means always faithful. I had the privilege of listening to a Marine get deeper into what that means. And he said, here's what it simply means. The code we live by is no one left behind. He said we came from all different background, different experiences. But the important thing is we all pull together as a team. The diversity and differences helped. In the sense that you may not know as an individual always what is the best thing to do in every situation. But together as a unit, we can solve anything. He said, it doesn't matter if you are black, if you're black, if you're white, if you dislike the individual, whether or not you hang out with the individual, that did not matter. He said, none of these things matter. What matter is when we are given a task, when we are on a mission, we pull together as one team. He said, we understand our mission, knowing that if my brother, that my brother on the left, my brother on the right, will always be there for me no matter what, What we always preach is that we are there for each other. How we describe this, again, he says, is no one left behind. And he said the reason why no one left behind is so important to us is because knowing that no one left behind, I know if I am in need, if I am out there injured or wounded, all I need to do is just keep faith with my brothers, because I know that soon there'll be someone that is gonna come to get me. It doesn't matter the cost. If there's a fallen, wounded soldier on the battlefield, help is going to come. He said the cost of doing so might even be more lives. But there is not one military person who says it's not worth the cost. Here's what he says again. There is no cost too great to save another human being, especially your brother. Semper Fidelis, always faithful. No one left behind. You know, maybe the church has something to learn from that. As I understand it, the belief and the practice of the Marine Corps, if there is a fallen comrade out there, they will break every obstacle, pay any price, face any danger. They said, we will not leave that person behind. That's the meaning of Semper Fidelis. What does the church say? Let us pray. Our loving Father who art in heaven, as you speak to us today, may we open our hearts to your words and may be responsive and receptive to your words. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, I want us to just think back on years ago, maybe half a year ago, maybe a couple months ago. Just think back on the people or the individual who you worshiped with, who meant something to you. Are they here today? Are all of them here today in our congregation? Is someone missing that used to sit beside you in Sabbath school class? Is someone missing that used to sit beside you right there on those pews? You know, I know that people move, people die, and people may have moved on to different congregations that they probably enjoy the worship more. And we know those things happen. People move for different reasons. But I'm not talking about those individuals. I am talking about those who are not here because they have been wounded in the battle of life. They have experienced loss, fallen into temptation. Life have battered and bruised and crippled them. My question is, have you reached out to those individuals? So that at any price, we may also say, no one left behind. Those of us who are here for some time may have heard different reasons why people decide not to be a part of the fellowship anymore. You know, you might hear reasons like, my children made some bad choices and I just can't stand going to church because somebody's gonna ask me why I didn't do this and make me feel like a failure. So I just can't bother with going to church to hear all of those, answer all of those questions. Someone might say, I lost my job and the bills are piling up on me and it seems as if God doesn't care. And there are countless reasons you might have heard why some individuals are not here with us today. You know, there are others who may have said, you know, I am experiencing the aging process and I cannot go out and congregate anymore. But ever since I cannot reach church, I cannot get to church, I cannot fellowship, no one has called me. We heard those kind of arguments. And we need to ask ourselves the question. You know, before I go there, you know, in this body, this large body of Christ, all of these things are prone to happen. You know, and this morning we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20, and Paul outlined the fact that we are in battle. We are in a warfare. And in the body of Christ, of course, there are going to be casualties. There are going to be people who are wounded, bruised, battered by sin. Life happens, and there are going to be people who the devil sometimes get the better of. But the question that we should ask ourselves is that, will we leave anyone behind? The wise man Solomon made some arguments in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Let us look at what he says there. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand them. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Two is better than one. You know, and the Apostle Paul expressed that same sentiment in our scripture reading that was so well read by Sister Woodhouse. Let's turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to read a few verses there and examine them for a little bit. He says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. You know, let's not forget the context of this. So Paul concluded the previous chapter by talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And as he concludes, he gives some very practical things as to how one can live or stay in the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul made 3 points. He made 3 points in this passage. The first one is, if a man is overtaken in trespass, you are spiritual. He's talking about individuals who is living in the Spirit. He just talked about the fruit of the Spirit in another chapter. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness. He said, if you are living in the Spirit, those of you who are in the Spirit, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Those who are battered, bruised, those who become casualty in the battlefield should be restored how? Gently, in the spirit of gentleness. And he said that if you are spiritual, you will do just that. You know, he said, if the Spirit is in your life, if the Spirit in your life, the way you restore will be evident. Restore gently. You know, I kind of look into this passage a little bit, and what I discovered to my amazement is that Paul uses a medical term. The word restore in its origin came from a medical term. And Paul is saying that, medically speaking, if you have a dislocated joint, if you have a broken bone, restoration must be gentle. Restoration must be gentle. Just think about what he's saying as it relates to us going to individuals who are fallen, individuals who need counsel and comfort. Just think about what he's saying to us spiritually, how we should approach the situation. He said we should restore how? Gently. And I know that some of us can be rough in our restoration process. Some of us can be harsh in our restoration process. And I I'm just going to say this. If in our effort to restore, church discipline is on the forefront of our mind, if we relish his church discipline, I think we should step back and let someone else do the restoration. Do you agree with me? Because some of us, sometimes make matters worse. We have no compassion. And we went out there and we, why did you do this? You shouldn't have done this. This is why this is happening to you. And if you only listen to the counsels of Sister White, only listen to the Bible. And that's how we reel off our process of restoration. Paul says that we should restore gently. And those of us who have ever experience a broken bone or a dislocated shoulder, we know what it means when it talks about gentle restoration. We don't want to feel the pain at all. We want it done as gentle as it possibly can be done. You know, I want us to think about, I want us to think about the story of the prodigal son. Think about how the father treats the wayward son. You know, I every time I this story is brought to my mind, I remember I heard a story of a little boy who listened to the story. And the teacher emphasized that, you know, the prodigal came back home, and the father was so warm in his welcome. The little boy says, "Teacher, I know a similar story." She said, "Okay, Sid." He said, "When I was growing up, my little brother ran away from home. And my parents could not find him for weeks. They searched for him, they couldn't find him. And the teacher says, so I can imagine the rejoicing when he comes home. But the boy said, no, teacher. My father almost killed the prodigal." You know, and that is how some of us behave, church. When we came upon someone that is wounded, that is broken, we try to make it worse. Instead of offering our comfort or care and show them our love, we try to rub salt in the wound. And sometimes they say, it's better I'd stayed where I was. Paul says we are to restore them, whole church, gently. Restore them gently. The whole process, your action should be centered around restoration, not condemnation. The second thing he says, very familiar text here, bear one another burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. And how I interpret this is Paul is saying that we should carry them willingly, bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You will act in the way Jesus would act by carrying them willingly. And church, make no mistake about this. Make no mistake. If you choose, if I choose to get involved in someone's life who needs real help, who is battered, who is bruised, who is crushed by life, it is going to come with a cost. It's going to come with a cost. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you your emotion. It's probably going to cost you financially. And I will have to make the decision and ask myself, you'll have to ask yourself, can I willingly step into the pain of another person and carry them willingly? Can I? Can you? You know, Monday was the anniversary of 9/11. You know, and I happened to listen some individuals who talked about how they helped people get out of the tower. This is a gentleman who says that he works on the 74th floor. And on his way down, he saw a lady sitting. He said the lady said she probably weighed about 300 pounds. She sat there out of breath. But he says that I stopped and I helped her up. And she said, I can barely walk. I am tired. And he says to her, listen, you and I are going to make it out here alive. And he says that people were passing him and people were running, people were screaming. But he said that I have already locked into making sure that this lady get out. So no matter what was happening around, I was locked into being by her side no matter what. Sometimes bearing one another's burden comes with a cost. But are we willing to shoulder that responsibility? Paul says that if we do that, we'll be fulfilling the law of Christ. Bear one another's burden. You know, and if you notice what the Marines say, they say that sometimes it comes with other casualty. It may cost life. It may cause hurt. But the pledge not to leave anyone behind. You know, there's another story I heard about a lady who was waiting in the Pentagon for promotion that very day. The plane hit the Pentagon. She actually got out. Okay. 2 days later, she went back to help rescue people from the rubble. And in doing that, her ankle was crushed by a huge piece of cement. And she went through many surgery, but eventually her foot had to be amputated. So the point is that what the Marine says that in order to save life, in order not to leave anyone behind, sometimes it's gonna come with casualty, it's gonna come at a cost. It's gonna cost us time, it's gonna cost us emotion, it's gonna cost us financially. But are we willing? Are we willing to bear one another's burden willingly? Are we willing to step in and carry them willingly? It takes time, of course. It takes focus. It takes dedication. But are we willing to step in and help a wounded soldier on the battlefield of Jesus Christ? Leonardo da Vinci, an artist, a scholar, a mathematician, he made a very profound point when talking about the arches that comes together to build bridges. He said that arches are two weak pieces of whatever material is used coming together. But when they come together, they provide strength. The wise man says again, two is better than one. You know, and as God's people, we do not always go into a situation feeling that we are strong. We probably go in there with our own weaknesses to help another weak brother or sister. But when we go in there with our weaknesses, in the spirit of God, in the midst, our two weaknesses become strength. We support each other. So Paul says, restore gently, carry willingly. The next point he made is that, let me just read it here. He says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Paul here is talking about self-assessment. He said that we should assess ourselves honestly. You know, is there anything in us that is preventing us from reaching a wounded soldier, assess yourself honestly. You know, sometimes why we don't get out there is when we assess ourselves, we probably don't even assess ourselves honestly. We assess ourselves with some amount of conceit, some amount of pride. That could never happen to me. I mean, I am okay. Why did he do this? I don't think that that person deserved my help because we're in the same situation and he did that. So in assessing ourselves at the time, we became so conceited in our own self-righteousness so that we cannot reach out. We don't want to reach out to help someone else. Paul says that we should assess ourselves honestly. And if we should do that, we will conclude that what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I have no strength of my own, but the strength of Jesus Christ. He said, assess yourself honestly. The other thing that Paul says in the text that will prevent us from reaching out is comparison. When we compare ourselves to others, we not only end up in the place of conceit or pride, but we can also end up in the place of putting ourselves down. What do I mean by this? There's nothing I have to offer. There are more spiritual individuals in the church that can attend to that matter. That person have more resources than I have. There's nothing I have to offer. As a matter of fact, I have my own issues dealing with. So not only do we end up being conceited, we might end up putting ourselves down, seeing ourselves as nothing. We do not have anything to offer. Does God have a child in his church that does not have anything to offer to another child of his? No. Even if it is our friendship, or non-judgmental friendship, we have that to offer. So in assessing ourselves, do not be conceited. Neither put yourself down. Because our Heavenly Father has equipped every one of us with something to offer. So, when the bullets are flying, when the war is hot, when it seems as though my life is being threatened, when bodies are falling, what does the Marine say? They stand up and they say, no one left behind. Always faithful. We will leave no one behind. Now the question again is, what happens in the church? What is happening in the church? You know, recently I kind of did a little bit of research on our church membership. And to my amazement, our church membership at Brooklawn to that 317 members. But the average attendance per week, guess how much is that? Veteran said 80. Yeah, since COVID, it might have been 80, but prior to that, it's maybe like 120, 150. You know, since COVID, it has gotten worse. I mean, the question we should ask ourselves Have you reached out to any of those members personally? I'm not talking maybe our best, I mean, our friends that we call from a week, but someone, somebody who probably got baptized and you probably only see them one or two times in church. Have we reached out to any of those individuals? I am sure that there are someone who is probably coming on the screen of your minds right now, whose face you have not seen for a long time. Someone who may, you like I said, have sat beside you in Sabbath school class sometime, may have sat eating fellowship lunch with you, may have went on a trip with you. Those faces might be coming to your minds right now. And you may know something about what's going on in their lives. Because, church, I know one thing that is alive here, one thing that is alive is that the rumor mill is well oiled. So people are hearing things. People know things. People know what is going on in some individual's life. But have we reached out to them? Have we taken Paul's clear counsel to heart to restore them gently, carry them willingly, assess ourselves honestly? Have we stepped out of our comfort zone to find a biblical solution for them? You know, and I know for a fact that it is difficult because the war is raging so much that, you know, this week there might be someone else. Next week there might be someone else. And we might be focusing on someone this week, but some three or four things might happen next week that shift our minds from that individual. You know, and that is why that situation should allow us to think of our finitude as human beings. We cannot do it alone. The body of Christ is here to help. We shouldn't take it up alone on ourselves because we're going to err. It happens to me. Somebody, you know, just as example, you know, I plan to talk to someone this week, but then I heard another news that actually get that person out of my mind so quickly, and I focus on what I think is current and most important. I mean, at the time, that is why I cannot do it alone. It takes the body of Christ to minister to those who are hurt, to those who are bruised, to those who are battered, to those who are spiritually weak. It takes the entire body of Christ. Paul says we should restore them gently, carry them willingly, assess herself honestly. You know, the story is told about a lady whose name is Shelley Duffer. She is a pastor's wife out of the Northwest. And she told the story of how she went through an utterly bitter, devastating life experience. Her husband, an associate pastor at her church, was arrested for inappropriate sexual relationship with underage girl. The senior pastor broke the news to her, and she said that it is as though my world collapsed. The most devastating experience through which I have ever gone. It is though I was trying to feel my way through the darkness. Who was this man? What had he done? How could that be? She said the anger, the fear, the shame, the sorrow for the victim crushed me. She said it was a high-profile case, So she moved her children hundreds of miles away to save them from the media. Didn't want them to know all that was going on. She said, I did that and I went into hiding. Divorce proceeding began and I sank into a dark depth. How could I not see this coming? What did I miss? Grief, guilt, crushed my soul. I was sick thinking about the victims. I worried for my children. And as the days go by, I lose hope more and more. And I came to the conclusion that the only reason for me to live is because of my children, because they need me. I finally decided to pack up and move hundreds of miles from my church community. But she says, before I left, there's one more weekend to live through this. There was one thing I needed to do, and that is I needed to let my church members know that I am okay and I'll be okay. So she said, that Sabbath I attended church and I slipped through a side door where I was barely unnoticed. She said, I just planned to say a general goodbye and slip away after church. She said that as soon as the sermon was finished, she slipped out. But before she could escape, an elderly lady came by, stopped her, and said, how are you doing? Then she said that people start pouring in. She said some came, some spoke, others slipped money into my trembling hand. I shook not just with tears, but with the sheer magnitude of God's grace. I planned to leave, I noticed, but that was not God's plan. She said the line stretched around the aisles of the church, and in the sanctuary. She said they expressed grief and concern for me and my children. Some said nothing at all, but just held me. Thus began the slow, tedious journey towards healing. Some days were terrible, she said. But she said, yet this church never left our side. Amen. They provided me the parsonage to live in. They gave me job leads. They gave my children food and clothing and Christmas presents. They didn't rush. They didn't push. They allow us to heal at God's speed. They didn't push us to come to church. They allow us to come when we feel like and leave quietly. She said, our hurting soul was fed each week by preaching and corporate worship. Our church brought in experts to legally and biblically address the situation. Care was given to the victims and grieving, confused teens. The church reexamined policies to better protect the youth. I am still in touch with the victims. I ache for them every day. And she said, we're thriving because of the gospel, because of God's grace. I learned that God is more real than I can imagine. And he is truly the God that sees and knows. And that his grace is felt every day in the warm embrace of his people. Restore them gently. Carry them willingly. Assess yourself honestly. In the body of Christ, no one should get left behind. Again, is there a name that comes to mind. Someone bruised, someone battered by life. Someone destroyed and broken by temptation. Here's my question to myself. Here's my question to you today. This week, will you say, as a member of the body of Christ, I will take my commitment seriously as a Marine to his or her core? So before this week ends, will an email be sent? Will a text message be sent? Will a lunch be shared? Will someone hear, and I listened to Denali's prayer, and she talked about her friend. She said, I love when they're here. I miss them when they're not here. This is what we should, this is how we should feel when our fellow brethren and our sisters are not here. So before the week ends, I'm asking, will a text message be sent? Will a lunch be shared? Will someone hear, I miss you? Sorry, I haven't said it before. And if there's anything I can do to help, I am at your service. If you are spiritual, if we are in the spirit, Paul says, we should restore gently, carry willingly, assess ourselves honestly. It's time we go and restore. There are so many wounded soldiers out there. So many wounded soldiers out there. And I've been listening to very encouraging song this week. As we come to a close, I've asked the AVP individuals to play that song because it is very encouraging. It has a message for us. And those of us who are here too, who might be bruised, might be battered, might be wounded, might be going through something, that song is very encouraging. Let's listen to the words as it is played by your AV department.
You went out to the front line, committed to the cause. You fought the fight of faith. You truly gave your all. And now you lie there wounded with a bleeding heart. You cried for help, but help just seems so far. And you wonder where the other soldiers are. He is coming for you, wounded soldier. He will gently carry you on his shoulder. He will give you time to mend till you can fight again. There's no need to fear. Jesus is me, wounded soldier. Sometimes the greatest battles are fought within your soul. No one sees your struggle. eyes, 'cause you won't let them show. And you're the walking wounded, pretending to be strong, but deep inside you're barely hanging on. And it's hard to find the courage to go on. He is coming for you, wounded soldier. He will gently carry you on his shoulder. He will give you time to mend till you can fight again. There's no need to fear. Jesus is near. He is coming for you, wounded soldier. And he will gently carry you on his shoulder. He will give you time to mend till you can fight again. There's no need to fear. Jesus is me, wounded soldier. Wounded soldier.
I want to say thank you to Brother Linval for the message. We need to